Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the one that is still God, to the one that was and it is still God, to the one that gave it all for us to be saved, to the one that gave his only son, to the only son, and to the Holy Spirit, to all of them, to all three of them, who are three in one, be the glory forever and ever, because he deserves the glory, because he deserves the honor, because he deserves everything that we can give him, because he is the creator of everything. And today, I just want to do something small. I'm not going to go all out, but I want to talk about God being the center, and at the same time, God being the center, letting us know, or not letting us know, but to allow ourselves to understand that it's not because of me, it's not because of what can I do, or what can I have, or what do I have, but it's because of him, because he's the one. All things were created for him and through him. So I want to go to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. It's a book that it's really good. I like it. I like the book. That's it. But Zechariah 4:6, and it says the following. I'm reading in the New King James Version. It says, "So he answered to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Now, many of you feel, or many of us feel, that we can do anything sometimes. But we need to remember, and we need to understand, that this one time God spoke to me, that this one time the Lord spoke to me and told me, this is not by might. It's not by what you want. It's not by your power. And it's by my spirit. God often promises and promises and promises this great, awesome, and glorious things that we're like, yes, yeah, I'm ready for it. And we start working for what he promised. And yes, it's good for us to work for what he promised, but not all the time. The Bible says and reminds us that it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but by the Spirit of the living God. I will become what he told me I was going to become. You will become what he told you were going to become. But we have to understand that it is his power. It's not ours. It is his might, not ours. And when we work for our promise under our own might and our power, we make that promise take so much longer, because the Spirit wants to work, but we're not allowing him to work how he wants to work. Now, believe me, I know that sometimes God says and promises things that we think that are fast, you know, that we think that promises travel on highways. And we have to stop worrying about what God hasn't given us yet. Number one, because God is not going to make himself a liar. What he said he will fulfill, he will fulfill it. And trust me, I know sometimes it feels like God has forgotten what he has promised. But I got to tell someone that he's not over yet. What he promised, he will fulfill, and he is about to start something new. The thing is that God is a responsible father. And I'm going to use one of the most comparison things by used by preachers. So thanks to all of those preachers that threw it out there. I as a father cannot give my 12-year-old a car. Imagine you giving your Ferrari to your 12-year-old. I know you can't give it to him because he's not mature enough to drive a car and less of that worth. He's not prepared enough to drive a car and less that worth. It's the same thing with God. God will not give us what he promised until we are ready or mature enough to receive what he promised. Number two, God will not put to shame those who trust him, according to Romans 10:11. You know that when God spoke to Noah, he told Noah he was going to send a flood. The ark wasn't made for animals. The ark was actually made for people. When God told Noah, Noah started to tell everybody to repent and come in with him to the ark. And they wouldn't listen. You know why? Because where Noah lived, it hadn't rained in so long that people there could not actually believe that there was going to be a flood. On top of that, God was merciful, and he sent the flood 120 years after he had spoken to Noah. See, notice something here. Sometimes we have to stand on the gap. Noah was standing on the gap for those people. He was building the ark, plus he had to wait. He had to wait for those people to repent, if they were going to repent, so that God could save everybody. And for his mercy, sometimes we're going to have to stand in the gap for other people. So, he sends the flood 120 years later. God had told Noah he was going to send a flood. He took his time. But he sent the flood because he's so merciful that he was waiting for us to repent. Because his deep love for us is the beginning of the world. What God promised you will come to pass. And all of those who made fun of you, those that didn't believe what God said, will have to see you sit and take a royal crown and a royal ring next to the king. It will come to pass, believe me. It's not by your might, it's not by our power, but it's by his spirit. You don't need to help God. We don't need to help him. He is God. We have to let go and let Godhood to God. Because that's what he knows how to do best. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows everything. And he's all powerful. He can do it. Fear not. Fear not. Be strong and courageous. Wait a little longer. Don't let go. Don't let go. Wait a little bit more. And next step is to throw the net, but throw it in the name of Jesus. I bless you, I bless your house, I bless your family, and I declare that the Spirit of God is upon you because he has anointed you to make a difference in your generation, to make a difference in your community, to make a difference in your job, in your school, in your university. Everywhere you go, you are the difference because you are the light of the Almighty and the living God.